world around us may have thrown them aside, but they have value. On Father's Day, thank a person that has done that for you. And in yourself, look at how you can continue to do that in other people. It's a gift. It's a blessing. And years later, see that young person changed in life and moving forward and taking to heed the words that you spoke. As a dad, I find myself sometimes speaking words that I have no idea where they came from. I think about it, that's my dad. That's my dad speaking through me, because I'm not that smart. And I think, thank you, Dad. Last time I spoke was on Father's Day 4 years ago. It was a week after my father had what should have been a heart attack. It was the Widowmaker. We have a few men here familiar with that. In the years that followed that, I watched this man who was a bulldog of a man become frail, unable to walk, eventually unable to speak or eat. But in the last weeks of his life, all that had been invested into him and his mind didn't recognize people. My sister would come visit. To him, it was just a nice lady that would come sit with him at his dinner table and feed him. But in the last few days of his life, he prayed at the table with my sister there, and he prayed for his children. He prayed that they be taken care of. And then he sang hymns. My sister, who was sitting with him, said he sang full verses of hymns that we take for granted because we only hit a few of them. Those came out of his mouth as he sat there in this lunchroom at this care facility. I often ask myself, and I even prayed, God, why did you keep him alive after that heart attack? Why didn't you take him then and prevent him from going through almost 3 years of going downhill, losing his mind, losing his health? It was later revealed to me that was the reason, is that what was in him through his whole life came out in those final days. People, after my father passed early the morning of April 2nd of last year, Brian, thank you. I received that phone call laying in my bunk up at the retreat. Brian's in the bunk next to me. I got the call from my sister, got off the phone. Brian and I spoke for a while. The comfort I had knowing that I had that phone call and that my dad was gone. I was emotional, but he no longer suffered the things of this world. But knowing that up to that moment, he knew the Lord. And the Lord was so important to him that he shared until he stopped speaking about 4 or 5 days before his death. He continued to speak about the Lord. So I understood why my prayer wasn't answered. God had a plan. And he carried it out through my dad until the last minute of his life. That's a legacy. My sister told me that once my father passed, about 1:30 in the morning there, waiting for the mortuary to come, every nurse in the care facility came through to give their regards to my father, to my sister. They respected him. They saw in that man a life. That's the life I want to leave. I want my kids to know the same in me, so that when it's over here, they know that this life is gone, but all is well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a blessing it is to be a father. But Father, what a blessing it is to be a dad, to have your child called you Daddy, just as your son called you Abba. Father, to know that that relationship is intimate. No one else can know what it's like to have your children, to embrace them, to watch them grow, Father, to come to a point where you set them free and know that all will be well. Father, today, may we celebrate fathers. May we celebrate ourselves being a father. And Father, may we take that seriously, but also enjoy the opportunity. Lighthearted sometimes, knowing that all is well. You are God at all times and all things. We are your children. You love us, and we love one another. In Christ's name, amen. You know, Life Song. I heard that song in 2005. From the moment I heard it, it became my song. Thinking about in the beginning, empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with me, with my life, I sing in vain tonight. Why? Why do I live? Why was I given life? Why was I given a second life? Why did God choose to say, Bill, I don't want you to stay dead? Because we are dead before God. We are not dying in our sin. We are dead in our sin. We aren't grasping at the top of the water saying, save me, because we are so content in our death, laying at the bottom of the ocean, our arms crossed at God saying, no, I'm fine. But he has another plan. Follow me on this story I heard on the radio that really touched me last year. God loves us so much that he looks through the water and he sees us in the silt at the bottom. He doesn't just reach his hand down and pull us up. He steps into the water. He comes down and he lifts our dead body up out of the silt. He breathes new life into us and he brings us onto the shore. He brings us into a paradise. What are we going to do once we're in that paradise? How do we get in the game? How do we make our life song worthwhile? First of all, we know all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is good, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. With that right there, I could walk off the stage, have a short service, and we could go home. The truth has been delivered. That's only part of the truth. This isn't like one of those cheesy infomercials, and there's more. But there is more. There's a lot more. The same God that said that in Genesis 3, when man had sinned and had to be removed, he started a plan into motion. He made a promise to his people. And our God is a God of promises, and he follows through. Scripture also says that while we were sinners, we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. What a gift to know that the God that created everything, stars, planets, people, grass, Brian's lightsaber. But anyway, we are his children. We are his. You know, I go back to the Truth Project when it talks about on the sixth day. You know, God for 5 days had everything going. And the way Dr. Tackett says, it's like he sent out a memo to the angels, come back tomorrow. Come back on the sixth day. I've got something to show you. He created us in his image for a reason. He had a purpose for us. As a father, he gave us purpose from the very beginning as men. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we try to overdo it. There are men that think that, you know, in order to be a man, I've got to be bold, I've got to be out there, I've got to be pushy. Well, there are times for each of those. But men can also be caring, considerate. We are called to be everything rolled into one package. Sometimes not sensible, but, you know, we are rolled into one package. With that, you know, we have to train ourselves of how do I apply this. You know, we talk about putting on the full armor of God. Last year in men's ministry, at breakfast, we went through the pieces of the armor, how we take on the full armor. We prepare ourselves. We prepare our minds to go into battle. You know, the spinner wheel is going to happen. We have to be ready to address everything except the giant lawyers. That one, you know, they're not natural. But, you know, we prepare ourselves. And we do that by training, by being in God's Word, by being around godly people that invest into us, that plant a seed in our mind so that when a circumstance happens, we know how to respond to it. We think about our response, but our response is not a knee-jerk. It's like, oh, this is how I respond to that. We have a number of people, law enforcement, retired law enforcement, military in here, that they do that. They train themselves for situations. We have to train ourselves for the same battle. We take on the full armor because we have to protect ourselves. We also have to have knowledge. We have the sword of truth. Brian has a lightsaber of truth. But, you know, we have that. We know what God's plan is. We know what his word says. And we're properly trained by people like Matt, occasionally, Brian, the men around us. We say, okay, I know what I should be thinking. I know how I should respond to this. It's not a simple task. If it's simple, we wouldn't have to do it. God never said, I'm going to make this simple for you. He says, I'm going to give you a chore. My burden is light, but life isn't going to be simple for you. We invest. He invested in us, like the song said, and like we've talked about, you know, the cross. What an investment that was made for me, undeserving. I deserved every lash that Christ took. I deserved to be beaten and scorned because of my transgressions against my God. But only one could take that and hang on the cross and take my sin. So with that, when I think about how do I respond, what is my responsibility, it's to share. It's to take that information, go out into the world, get into the game of life, and share what I know. Some people don't want to hear it. Some people will turn their backs, others dispute you, others put their hand up. I don't want to hear it. Well, you're going to see me live it. You may not want to hear it, but you're going to see it. You're going to see how I live. And I'll continue to live that way. I may not speak it to you, but I'll live it. So in the video, we saw the guy, the father. He was so focused on his life at that moment. His workday was over. He was just interested in getting in the house, getting to the table, and eating. His son took him by the face and said, "Dad, get in the game." Then he went full Rambo, didn't he? Like tore off the pants. You know, that's the way I am before Tammy and I go in to teach the preschoolers second hour. So, you know, you get in the game. You prepare your mind. You equip yourself. So once the son started to spin the wheel, the father said, "Okay, I'm in the game. Let's go with this." The mother looked through the window and said, "Oh boy, these guys are nuts." But we're men. You know, we get to do that, and it's up to the girls to grow up. So part of our life commission is to share. We invest into our children. We invest into the city around us, our community, our church. We prepare people to go out. We prepare one another. Because the world will be striking against us every time we turn around. They won't let up. We can't let up. They want to see us put our guard down so they can find an opening and come in, take their sword, their knife, try to find an opening in our armor and just ram it through us. We have the sword of truth. We know who our God is. If you're looking for great words of wisdom from me today, come back next week when Brian talks, because I'm speaking from my heart today on a topic that I am passionate about. I usually talk about accountability. I usually talk about, Tammy's laughing because she goes, "This one's not about accountability, is it?" I said, "No, honey, it's not. This is about as you go, because as we go, we have to keep going. We have to keep moving forward. That's why I am so in love with my church body. And every time I speak, I want everyone else to experience what I have. I have brothers and sisters in this church body that are as close to me as my two blood sisters, closer in many ways. I have the opportunity to get calls from you guys, text, emails, and pray with you. In our elders' meetings, we talk about what's going on and how we can help one another. There are so many groups going on that's what they invest themselves into. The church body is alive, whether it be Glendale Christian, CCV, Calvary. God is alive and well. But as an elder in this church, with these men, it's my responsibility to make sure that we're allowing God to work in this church through our people, through what He needs to do here on this corner. What's God's plan for this church? It's like every other church. Go out, make faithful followers. That is what we say we're here to exist for. It's to equip our people to go out and deliver the Great Commission. The Great Commission is something that we can do in many ways. We can do it right here in the church, in our neighborhoods, in the city. Some leave the country. Some have had the opportunity to go to the other side of the world, and we support them on a regular basis as they go to foreign hostile lands to deliver the truth into a dark world. That's their calling. I've been praying to be a missionary in Troon. It hasn't happened yet, but I think they really need someone in Troon on one of the golf courses. And once that prayer is answered, I'll be going there. But for right now, I love you guys. God loves us as a church body. My daughter, who I'm very proud of, and my son as well, not to leave him out. She answered the call. She's the one that said, "What can I do?" She saw a need and she prayed. And she shared the story with me in the past. She answered the call. She had a chance to go to Mexico last fall. She's been to Arizona Reservation Ministry. She sees hurting people and she has a heart for them. We are all to have a heart for the broken. We're to be brokenhearted for what breaks God's heart. So, part of what we're doing today as a church body, we're going to send my daughter off. A very special send-off from the church family that has supported her for years, who's invested into her for years, who now is not saying, "Paige, it's time for you to go." It's saying, "Paige, it's time for you to go and send her." She'll be going to a place that scares her mom and I to death. But it's the place that she says she wants to go. And at 17, I wish I would have had the courage, the knowledge to do so myself. I didn't. God bless you, Paige. So my message is about as you go. It has been. I'm wrapping it up now. Short. Okay. As you go, have an influence. Your influence has affected my daughter. Tam and I have affected our daughter. In some ways, I think we may have infected her, but she's still a good kid. Howard, I know you and Jasmine will do the same with Joy. It's such a blessing to watch you as a father. I give you grief. You deserve it. But anyway, we are family. We laugh together. We cry together. How many times have we sat in this room and cried over the loss of a brother or sister? But we've rejoiced in their passing as well. We have celebrated that they knew who God was and they've left. They're fine now. But someone had to first speak to them. And we know, Jan, we know Les. Les loved his people. When Les passed and we had a service in here, standing room only. Because someone first invested into Les Newkirk, that he invested in other people, and it was just a spider web of people hearing about Christ. That's a legacy. We lost dear Miss Mary back at the holidays. Paige and I sat with Mary about 2 weeks before she passed at her house. She was so comfortable in her passing. She knew who God was. She spoke openly about her death, about even an excitement that any day she'd be gone. I want that peace. I want to share that peace with other people. I want other people to understand that this game of life is an opportunity. We have been saved. We're alive now. Now we go out and we live until that death where we go to the other side and we live eternity. But for now, we have a chore to do. Missionaries, all of us. Opportunities, all around us. Desire, I hope it's there. So, as I finally bring this to a conclusion, the elders will join me up here, and the pastors, and Paige, and our choir has a treat, and we'll send off Paige. But as dads, take it responsible. Take responsibility for your actions, for the opportunity. Go be fathers. Go be a leader. Go be a mentor. You may not have kids, but you have an opportunity to invest into someone's life. And Matt, we didn't stain your green carpet with any thrown tomatoes, so you're good. So I'm asking my brothers to come forward, my daughter to come forward. We'll join Paige down front. The choir, you can assemble whenever you're ready, and we'll go down front with her. Yes, sir. Hey, sir. Andrew. Come join us, please. Andrew invested much into my daughter for years as her youth pastor. No. She's going to kick me or something.
Before they start, I just wanted to thank everyone for everything you guys have done to support me. Sorry, I don't want to get emotional. But I've just been so inspired by your guys' hearts for the kingdom and just how much you've poured into me, and like, you've just inspired me to go and do this.
You want to start, Brian?
Sure. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for Paige and for the young woman that she's become. Lord, I know that I've had a chance to see her over the years grow into this, and I'm just thankful for what you've done in her heart, for the passion that she has to see people come to know you. Lord, I pray that you would be with her, keep her safe in this trip, for her to have an impact, for her life to make a difference as she goes forth and as she shares the message about what your son has done for all of us.
Faithful Father, in your word it says that beautiful are the feet that bring good news. And Paige is such a beautiful person, and we thank you for her. And we want to bless this time where she goes to share the good news and to serve others. Keep her safe and bless her.
Father, as we come before you, commissioning Paige to go forward as a member of our congregation. Father, we pray that you keep her safe. Father, that you multiply the blessings that she bestows upon others as they in turn bestow them upon others. We just ask that you watch over, bless, and keep her.
Father, I thank you for your word, for a savior. Father, for the opportunity for my child, my daughter, to go out into the world, for her heart that you placed in her that is beyond the heart that I can imagine, the heart that I want myself. Father, I ask that you watch over her. You give peace to Tammy and I while she's gone. But Father, that she be that shining light where it needs to be, that people see who you are through her actions, through her team's actions, through their words, for their love for strangers, neighbors in a foreign land that are treated as brothers and sisters. Father, it's only through your word, through your life, through knowing you that this is even possible, to bring your feet through our feet, your heart through our hands into this land. Father, watch over, guide, and protect in all things.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this this opportunity to be a witness to this, to watch this this young lady grow over the last 10 years that I've known her, from a little girl to just a beautiful woman who's just so in love with you. Father, we are privileged to witness this opportunity, because this is what a local church is all about, is sending one another out to go forth into the world to share the gospel message. So, Father, this is such a privilege. So our prayer today is that Paige be just as effective in witnessing to the people that in this country that she's going to, as she and her family have been to the folks here at this church. So, Father, we ask that you be with her and you be with her family.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us, our church, young people like Paige Duncan. Thank you for giving her the desire to gain the knowledge and the experience that she needs to be able to share her faith with others. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be part of sending her off to another country. We pray now that she'll be able to use that knowledge that she's gained to affect the lives of hundreds, if she can. And we pray that after doing so, she'd come back realizing that that was only the first, and there are many more other missionary journeys for her to do. We just thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for Paige and the mission. Keep her safe.
God, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of the people that Paige will minister to, because they have no idea what's coming. We pray selfishly that you keep her safe and that you bring her back to us, but we pray more that you would bless her ministry to the people of Guatemala. We love you and we praise you for your gift of Paige to us, and we pray that you'll bless your gift of Paige to them as well. In your name we pray, amen.